topic today is how to handle what is handling you. How to handle what is handling you. Now, I know a lot of people in here have things that are handling them, amen? Because God allowed things to enter into our lives that devastate us. Have anybody ever gone through a devastating experience? And when you're in that experience, those things seem to start to handle you, amen? But God does that sometimes to shake us out of the lethargy that we're going through. Sometimes we're just sleeping on God. God has given us an assignment to do, and we're just going through the motions. But he does it because he teaches us. He's teaching us how to grow. When you're in that devastating situation, all of a sudden you start growing because you start fasting, you start praying, and you start believing. Believers who don't believe start believing, because unbelievers who don't believe start believing as well. As we know, troubles and trials are part of this parcel that we call the human life. After all, Job said this, man is born of a woman, is of a few days and full of trouble. And Jesus said it this way, these things I have spoken to you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. If you're here today, burdens and trials and tribulations are going to come your way. If you haven't had them yet, just wait. Amen? That's a given. Somebody said that a Christian, how many Christians do we have in here today? A Christian without any affliction is just like a soldier that's just on parade. A soldier, and we are soldiers in the army of the Lord. A soldier, you have to be prepared to fight. He didn't make us soldiers of Christ to be on parade. He didn't want us to just stand there and look good, but there's something that we must do. Amen? However, what is not given to you and what it is about the trials and trouble that will come our way. In order to survive, we must put God first. We must say no to some things and yes to God. We always like to put God on the back burner. I spoke to somebody this week, and they said, yeah, I'll be the church, you know, on Easter. I said, Resurrection Sunday? I said, yeah, everybody comes then. Well, I'll be there New Year's. I said, yeah, well, you'll be in part of that crowd that'll be there. You see, we put God second and everything else first. Amen? But in this short little verse, Jesus teaches us something, that what we can do with our burdens, because we all have some things that want to handle us. And those things that want to handle us, let me tell you, it's a plot and it's a plan of the enemy. If you got something that you can't control and it's handling you, it's a plot and it's a plan of the enemy. If you can't pay your bills, it's a plot and a plan of the enemy. If he does it so you can't come to church, it's a plot and it's a plan of the enemy. So let's look into this verse just for a couple of minutes and think of how to handle what is handling you. In Matthew 11, 27 to 30, Jesus writes this. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden light. So I know we've all heard those lines somewhere before, but I want to break those lines down a little bit for you to let you know what Jesus is really saying in these verses. Amen? Because he's just saying a couple of things. It's just a couple of words that we use all the time. But what is Jesus really saying to us? He says, all things are delivered. It's a past tense, delivered. That means that it has already happened. Amen? He says, all things were delivered to me by my Father. So at some point in time in the past, amen, some point before he entered this earthly mission, maybe when they were trying to come together and say, this is how we're going to figure out, and this is how we're going to handle this situation between the devil and me. I'm going to send you down here. All things were delivered to him by his Father. In other words, he is saying that he was coming down here as the mediatorial king. See, everybody says, oh, God, Jesus came down to be the king. But he was a mediatorial king. So you're saying, well, Pastor, what do you mean? The word mediatorial comes from the word mediator. So that means that he was the king that was sent to discuss, to settle the issue between the devil and God. Amen? In 1 Corinthians, he says it this way. Then cometh the end, when he shall deliver, have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall put down all rule and all authority and all power. For he must reign till he has put the enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So the king, while he was here, he put everything, every enemy underneath his feet, everything that came up against him. He did it with authority because he says, everything has been delivered unto me by my Father. So when he came down here as the king, his assignment was to put everything that the devil did under his feet. So now that he's put everything that the devil's done under his foot, the last thing that he had to conquer was death. So when he died on the cross and he rose again, he conquered death. Amen? So the scripture before is saying that Jesus is the authorized instructor of the knowledge of God. Amen? He said, no man knoweth. That means that nobody knows. No man, no woman, nobody, no how, no one. Nobody knows the Father except me. And then he says, you don't know me. Only the Father does. And if you want to know the Father, you can only know him through me. So now Jesus is presenting himself as a teacher. He is declaring that he's the only one that knows the true knowledge of the Father. You see, when this scripture was being written, scriptures above it, he was rebuking the wise and the intelligent. You ever see somebody that's so wise and so intelligent that they can't learn anything? They're so smart, they're stupid. I don't know if you have ever been in the presence of somebody that's so smart, they're stupid. Sometimes they're so smart, they got so much book sense that they don't have common sense. Have you ever seen some? Most of the people that are millionaires through their own efforts, they got a lot of common sense and not a lot of book sense. They didn't go to college, but God instilled something in them that they were able to overcome. I'm here to say that God can instill something in you that you're able to overcome. I visited with somebody the other day, and they just showed me a little something. And I said, you need to get a patent on that. Because it was ingenious. And you would never, ever think of doing it. But somebody, if they use it, they're going to make a lot of money doing it. Now, I explained that I had my own situation. And I'm not proud of it, but I'm going to tell you, maybe this inspired somebody. First of all, I want you to all know that I've never been a pastor all my life. So this experience that I'm going to tell you was before pastorialship, okay? Before being saved, amen? One Friday, I was fired up. And I was in a tight park. I live in New York. I was in a tight park. I had that much room in the front and that much in the back. And I backed my car up. I was furious because I couldn't get out. So I backed my car up and backed it in the front, backed it up. Now, the guy in front of me, whoever it was, they had a brand new BMW. I had a beat-up car because you know how I roll. But I banged his car, and I didn't care. And I said to myself, I'm not worried about his car because he's doing better than me, right? I don't know what kind of dents I put in the rear of his car. But you know what? About 3 months later, they came up with that rubber bumper guard. Could possibly? He said, if I had something back there, so when he bumped into me or somebody bumps into me, my bumper will not get dented. Now, you know, everywhere you go right now, you see that bumper guard on cars, don't you? Somebody with a little common sense, God has provided a way. God can provide a way for you through a revelation. Amen? But let me get back to the scripture. But anyway, somebody can be so smart and so intelligent that they can't learn from anybody. So when Jesus came, he didn't talk to the smart. He didn't talk to the wise. He didn't talk to the intelligent. He talked to the lowly people. Amen? He made no big thing of himself. He says, I am meek and I'm humble. You can talk to me and I want to talk to you. Amen? Declaring that if you talk to me, I have the full knowledge of the Father. Amen? Now, one of the reasons why I want you to understand why that I said that Jesus was a mediator king, because he said that all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Amen? You heard that? I got news for you. All power was not given to him in heaven and earth until he died and rose again. Amen? But what the Father told him is that when you do my will, all power will be given to you in heaven and earth. Now, we sit around here and we want to know, well, God has given us power. Yes, he has. But the Son was obedient to the Father, even unto death. Are we obedient to the Father, even unto something happens? Unto death. Amen? He says in verse 28, come unto me. There was no big M in me. It was a little M in me. Come unto me. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Amen? He's standing there as the great teacher. In the literal translation, it means hither to me. The word being an adverb, it's an action thing. Hither, come to me. It expresses that I'm here. Just come to me. Hallelujah. Just come. I'm not going to force you. I'm not going to scream at you. Just come to me. Amen? He says, all you that are laboring, that are heavy laden, that are all toiling and burdened. He uses the word toiling. That don't mean that you're just, how should I say it? It doesn't mean that you're just exerting a little bit of exercise, a little bit of force. You're toiling. If you have ever been out in 100-degree weather, 90-degree weather, and you're doing yard work, and it's getting hot, and you've been out there for hours, I bet you're toiling out there. Amen? So we go through situations where we are toiling and we're burdened. Amen? Sometimes we call it, today we like to call some of those things stress. Like we're stressing out. We got things that we got to do and we're stressed out about. And in spite of the stress, we still got to do what it is that we got to do. So they didn't use that word stress then, but he says toiling and being burdened. Amen? But he wants them to know that if you don't come to me, I can't teach you what I know about God. You see, everybody wants to talk to God. You can't talk to God. I know it's quiet in here. I said, you can't talk to God. Did Moses talk to God? He talked to a burning bush, but God was in the burning bush. He could not see God, but he was able to talk through the burning bush where God was. And that was Old Testament. But we're New Testament. You can't talk to God. You still can't talk to God. Back then, you had the prophets that talked for God to the people. We have an advocate. His name is Jesus Christ. Anything that you want to say to God, you got to say it to him. You ever hear somebody say, well, if you want to talk to him, you could talk to me? You ever heard that statement? But this is what Jesus is saying. You want to talk to him, you got to talk to me. I did the work. I did the work for you. You can't talk to him. Talk to me. And we all go through that. I have that situation right now with my mother. I have people calling her up all the time, and they call my number. And they want to talk to her. For those of you who don't know, she has Alzheimer's. They call, and they want to talk to her. I said, well, you can't talk to her. You can talk to me. And they don't want to talk to me. I said, well, you don't want to talk to her then. I represent her. And I hang up. They'll call back or they won't call back. But the fact of the matter is Jesus Christ died on the cross. If you want to talk to him, you got to talk to him. I mean, I'm not making a big thing out of it. I'm trying to be very literal so you can understand what Jesus is saying. You want to talk to him, you got to go through me. Through me. Amen? So what Jesus is saying is that you got to take your burdens to him. So now, let me explain what this is really all about. He says, come unto me, all those who are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. We take our burdens to the wrong place. Hallelujah. We get upset. We get aggravated. We get annoyed. And we take our burdens to the wrong place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look, give me that. No. We don't need to take our burdens here. Well, you know what they said to me? You know what I'm going to do? I'm a customer. I hope this happened. I hope that happened. This is not where you take your burdens. Amen. Hallelujah. Give me that thing there. This is not where you take your burdens. You're so busy being angry and cussing people out and fussing them out, and then you go try to get a job and people looking up what you done and said to people. You're trying to become a manager or a district leader or something like that, and they're looking up the curses and the little pictures that you done took with all your body hanging half out. and you can't take it back. You think you could take it back, but you get in some trouble, they go back in history in the archives and find out everything that you done said and pictures you done posted. Jesus said, don't take your burdens there. He says, take it to me. You know what? The word says, don't worry. Amen? Philippians 6, 4 and 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving. Not just with prayer and stuff, but with thanksgiving. Sometimes you got to thank the Lord that he's putting you through something because you don't know why, but more will be revealed. And let your request be made known unto God. Amen? If you really put it in perspective, he is your heavenly Father. And I don't care who you are, if you got a dad, you got a mom, you got somebody, a parent, you tell them exactly what it is that you want. He's saying, with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, tell me what it is that you want. Tell me. There's nothing too hard for him. There's no burden that he can't carry, that he can't bear. Amen? In John 14 and 1, he says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Here we go right back to, if you believe in him, then you better believe in me. If you believe in God, also believe in me. Hallelujah. Listen. That, you know, we sing a song, the circle will not be unbroken. Between the Father, Son, and the Holy, the circle will not be unbroken. What has been settled and what has been set, it has to be that way. He says, if you believe in God, believe in me. You can't get to him except through me. He says, cast all of your cares on me, your burdens on me. Now we can go to Martha. See, we all act like Martha. You see, Jesus was coming to visit. And Mary and Martha was there. And Martha was, oh, he's coming to visit, so I got to clean up. I got to do this and I got to do that. I got to make sure that the house is looking all good for the Lord because he's coming, he's coming. And Mary just wanted to be at his feet. She just wanted to hear what he had to say. And then she says, Jesus, how could you be, don't you care that my sister's not helping me clean up for you? He said, don't worry about her. Some of us are so worried about what the other person is doing. And God is saying, don't worry about it. Jesus is saying, don't worry about it. Just come unto me. My sister was worried about DCF last week. He said, don't worry about it. Cast all your cares. Just worry about me. Just know. Just have the faith that I'm going to show up and I'm going to show out. She didn't tell the whole story, but that one DCF person was pacing back and forth. She looked around. I heard her say case 36. I heard her say that. I was the first one there. And I said, well, what case is? They said 36. So my ears were attuned to anything that happened to 36. And when I heard her say 36, I was looking at her, and then I knew who she was. You see, when the Spirit is working, you'll know who somebody else is. When the Spirit is working, you'll know who somebody else is. You won't be so easy to jump carnally on somebody, but you sit back and wait and let the Lord work and do what he has to do. There's strength in numbers. Sister Savage didn't even have to show up, but she heard the testimony. She said, I'm coming. There was people there who came, who showed up. There was too much Jesus in there for that person to do what she came to do. Hallelujah. When Jesus show up, everybody else might as well leave. You can say the name of Jesus, the devil has to run. I want to know today, how do you handle what's handling you? Your friends, they're not going to help you. Let me tell you something. You know who my BFF is? Who's your BFF? It's So many of us, you know, over time that BFF has changed so many times. When you were 5 years old, you had a BFF. When you got 15, you had another BFF. When you got 21, you got another BFF. When you're 30, you got another BFF. But let me tell you, from the time that you're born to the day that you die, if you make Jesus your BFF, you never have to need another one. Your friends won't be able to help you. They'll tell you about who you are, what you did, and what you went through. Job, he called his friends physicians of no value. See, physicians are supposed to be people that aid you. They're supposed to help you heal. They're supposed to give you the remedy, amen? But Job and everything that he was going through, and then his friends start talking to him and talking about him, he said, you guys are physicians of no value. And you know what you used to call them before you got saved, right? I'm not going to say that up here. The problems with friends is that they will lie to you, amen? They'll show you, they'll allow you to wallow in your self-pity, and they'll tell you, you know, you really got a right to do that. You know, it's okay, go ahead and wallow in it. You're wallowing in the mud, and they say, yeah, you know, you're doing the right thing. They sympathize with you, but they can't help you with the real burdens and the problems that you're going through. Amen? Proverbs put it this way, faithful are the wounds of a friend. If somebody wants to tell you the truth, the truth hurts. But those enemies, they'll be kissing you. I understand. Let me tell you something. When Jesus got ready to turn Christ in, how did he do it? Every kiss ain't a kiss. Come on. Every kiss ain't a kiss. That was a kiss of death. At least he thought so. Amen? Running away from your problems are not going to help, because you know what? Every time you turn around and wherever it is that you go to, that problem is still there. Because the problem is you. So you can't run away from your problem. Amen? Fighting is not going to help you. A lot of people like to fight. I have to say, I used to like to fight. A lot of people live in denial, and they fight what is right in their face. Amen? Fighting against the Lord will bring your life into a dangerous situation. Because when you're fighting against the Lord, you have a famous words. These are some famous words, and these are some last famous words. I don't care. I don't care. Somebody said, well, you know, you really should. I don't care. I don't care. But there is a God, no matter how much you don't care, he still cares for you. Amen. When you don't care, he still cares. Hallelujah. If you aren't careful, you're going to find yourself fighting against God. Has anybody ever fought against God? Nobody. You never fought against God. But let me explain something to you. In this life that you're living right now, see, because when you die, there's nobody else is going to be with you, husband, wife, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So this life that you're living, it should be you and the Lord riding on a two-person bicycle together. Amen? And the Lord is in the front, and he's staring. And you need to be pedaling. The person in the front is called the captain. Amen? So you're just the peddler. You're on the back burner of this road called life, that this bicycle that you're on, this road of life with the Lord. Remember, he's the steerer, and you are pedaling. You're on a bike, just the two of you. And in this life, you'll pass other people by. You'll stop and have some friends along the way. You'll stop and you have a husband or a wife, some children, other family members. But on this life, this road, It's you and him. Keep that in mind. You should transfer your burdens to the right person. You see, everything that we go through, loneliness, depression, feeling needy, even death, Jesus has been through all of that stuff. Sometimes we feel like that we hate it. Sometimes we feel loved. Sometimes we feel accepted. Sometimes we feel rejected. He knows all about that stuff. He's been through it. He can identify. When he says he can identify, he identifies with you. Have you ever had somebody who say they identify with you and they really don't? Somebody say, I know how you feel, and how can somebody, I have a question. If we put up our hands, every hand in this house is different. Every design on this hand is different. Amen? Nobody has the same palm print. Amen? Does that mean that God made and constructed each of us differently? So is it safe to say that everything that you go through, that nobody can exactly feel what you feel? But the Creator who created you can know how you feel because He created you. He knows you. So when you put your problems and your burdens on somebody, it should be the Creator. Hallelujah. Because He knows how you feel. There are times when God will remove your burden. Amen? Sometimes He changes things in an instant. Sometimes He removes that burden, bang, zoom, gone. Sometimes He will relieve your burden. There are times when He leaves it on your shoulders, but He lessens the load. Amen? And then sometimes He makes you rest in that burden. And when He has you resting in that burden, it's because He's given you the grace to carry that burden. Amen? And the glory of that situation is that He don't want you to focus on that situation. He wants you to focus on changing yourself in that situation. Because the solution to everything is not always removing the burden. Sometimes the lesson and the growth is in changing you in the midst of the burden. He says, you can rest in my yoke. You can rest in my house. You can rest in my spirit. You can have peace. So however it is that you're handling what is handling you, it depends on you. It doesn't depend on the Lord. It depends on you. Because the scripture said, come unto me. He already knows your situation. He's saying, come to me. And I'll handle it. I'll designate. I'll assign. I'll assess the situation. I know what you can handle. I know the burden that you can carry. I know what you can bear. I know what you need to go through for growth. I know that you need this gone. I know you just need this modified. Come unto me. This is the person who did like this. And there were stars in the air. Come unto me. I don't know how many billions of people there are, but nobody's print is the same. How amazing is that? Let us stand this morning.